do my intro. I'm gonna introduce you and everything, right?
Okay.
So it's, bro, you ain't doing nothing besides being you.
Hey, all I right. Don't pretend.
Ready?
Yup.
Alright. Thank you for listening to OTR Off the Rip. It's your boy John back with another one. I got a special guest. We in a special setting. I got my boy. Introduce yourself.
The Creole Prince, Kelly. How y'all doing?
Alright, man. So as you can see, I am getting braided. I'm gonna drop the video with the episode on this one, because this is dope, man. You get to see me live in a mix. Today's episode, I think I'm going to keep it simple and just call it Barbershop Talk, which has a bit of nostalgia for me because I used to host this men's discussion group on campus with the same title. But today we're going to talk to, like, Kelly got a cool little story. So just to kind of get them familiar with you, tell them about yourself, give a little bit of background information.
Well, my full name is McKelly Thomas. I'm originally from Ville Platte, Louisiana. And I also do other stuff in the artistic world, like write music, R&B, sing, perform, draw, paint, and barbering. I've done some modeling and some acting. And I just recently just changed careers and started working for myself as an entrepreneur, as a full-time barber stylist, well, master barber stylist, meaning I can do everything when it comes to hair.
I'm gonna say, as you can see.
As you can see.
So I bring that, I'm glad that you did that. So, you know, man, like, it's funny doing this kind of, cause I don't want to call it an interview. Like, we literally just about to chop it up,
right? Yeah.
But I kind of want, you know what I'm saying? I want them to know your story. And what makes it dope is one of the conversations that's reoccurring is that I'm trying to figure out how to word this part. Because, bro, I'm so proud of you for, like, following, like, a dream, following a passion, following your creative side.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember, matter of fact, before you were doing barber, like, before you were a barber, what were you doing?
Oh, my God.
I know, but you know what I mean? Like,
before I was doing barbering, I've done just about every type of job, from a warehouse to a hotel to customer service. I've done everything. But right before I transitioned into full-time barbering, I was working as a payroll specialist for different companies, and it was okay. Yeah, the money was good, but it just was not my passion, so I had to dip up out of there.
So yeah, I think as far as that, of course, that's what I wanted them to see, is that there's different routes to take. And I mean, maybe you could speak to this too, which is, you know, like, right, like, the one of the constant conversations that come up is passions over profits, or passions and profits, all these different things.
Yeah.
And to me, like, I get that not everybody's going to necessarily be talented in what they're passionate about, but I don't think you should ever stop doing it. Like, you don't give it up, or at least you figure out a way to work it into what you do to make money, if you can't make money off of that.
Right. Well, for me, I was always who I am, and that's an all-around artist. I'm born with that gift of art, and that's in every genres of art, if I can say it that way. And so I started cutting hair when I was like 14 years old, and just doing it in my own head, drawing designs, fading it and everything. You know, I had my dad had divorced, and I always just, they always knew I had that artistic talent. So, I just started cutting hair then, but at that time, you know, I was young, and I was like, okay, when I graduate school, I'm gonna be a fashion designer, this and that. And I did go to school for that, but you know, tuition and all that stuff, it kind of just got me, you know, got me down, and I didn't finish. And so I just fell into corporate America, man, just working to survive. And I stayed in survival mode for most of my life, and until COVID hit. When COVID came through, you know, people were losing their jobs, and you know, some never getting them back. And I was bouncing around from job to job, you know, doing temporary work.
Right.
And I just got tired of it. And I was like, why am I putting myself through all of this when I got all this talent, you know? And so I decided that, hey, with all these talents I have, with the music and the art and stuff, that stuff really ain't bringing money in. So I was like, well, which one of my talents should I focus on as a business that's going to help me bring money in so that I could have time to focus on my other ones, which one of my first loves is recording music, writing and recording music.
Right.
And though I, you know, got a little buzz and all that stuff here, I still wasn't making really money doing this. So I was like, hey, I need to focus on what's going to bring money into it and I can still enjoy what I do. So that was barbering for me. So I went to school, had a rough time through school. You remember that. Everything that was wrong that could happen was happening.
So mind you, that's what, if you notice what he said was that, so I knew him before all this. Like we met at a gym. And I'm not even gonna lie, I think it was one of those things that Eric, you know how it started at the gym?
Yeah.
We just head nod.
Yeah.
Head nod, say what's up, and then we start talking. But I remember when you said that you were gonna do barber school, I'm like, bet. Pulled up to the barber school. Mind you, I just like that he brought this up. That I still rock with him to this day, because I fell asleep. So during the pandemic as well, remember, I've said this on more than one episode where, of course, I started the podcast, but I started working two jobs.
Yeah.
And I forgot where I was working when you was, I know I was at the gym.
I think he was still doing the mechanic.
I was still at the body shop, right?
Yeah, he was still at the body shop.
Which is funny because I'm back there now. But I was so tired that I would come up and like there's this one time that he's giving me a haircut and I'm falling asleep in the haircut. Haircut still came out clean though. Line up fresh. And like I'm telling him, like, nah, man, I'm apologizing, but I'm like, man, I'm not tired like that, but I'm tired. And we got through the haircut, but his journey, like, I also want to bring that up too, because you said that everything that could kind of go wrong
went wrong.
So what helped you stay course to like making sure that you got to the goal and to the vision?
For me, it was my determination, and I knew that, you know, living so long and always having challenges, I knew that it was just going to be a test to see if I was going to give up or if I was going to push through it. And for me, I just was determined. I was like, look, I don't ever want to work for anybody ever again. I don't want to do all that stuff. I'm grateful for it. Like, I earned a lot of skills, but I did not want to work for anyone else ever again. A lot of bad things were happening where I was being mistreated on my jobs.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I am not going to give people the opportunity to fire me when they want or underpay me or tell me I have to work when I need to take a vacation or when I'm sick. And so I was like, I need something where I can be my own boss and have a work-life balance.
So now that you are your own boss now.
I am my own boss. Really? Barber Artist Studio, baby. Round Rock. This is my spot.
So, you know, like, because I'm not going to lie, it sounds good. You know, we done talked outside of this, so you know I'm working on mine.
Yeah.
But it's now that you're in the shoes, does it look different from what you thought it would be like? Or is it everything you thought it would be? You know what I mean?
It's like, everything I thought it would be plus some.
And
it's the freedom. I started when I'm gonna veer off a little bit. When I graduated barber school, I went and worked at different shops. Three different shops I worked at within about a year and a half. And I just built my clientele fast, and I was able to open up my own spot, which is where we're at now.
As glamorous as that is, though. Is it for everybody?
I don't think it's for everybody. There's a lot of people that I went to school with that they're doing it now, but they're not enjoying it.
Okay.
So it's not for everybody. So with that being said, I believe that you have to go for what you're passionate about. Because no matter what happened, no matter the challenges, because there are challenges with barbering, building clientele could be scary. You know, because if you're not a person to just go and talk to people and say, hey, look, I'm a barber or whatever, and I'm trying, you know, if you want a haircut, come and see, you know, people be like, how good are you?
Yeah,
so
right.
I mean, really, yeah. They got to see that you got the skill before they give you business. And so it could be hard, and some people just don't have it in them to grind like that. But if you're passionate about it, you're going to do whatever you got to do so that you can succeed in your business. And that's what I do. I just work. I worked 7 days a week for a whole year. And now I'm finally able to take my days off, because I was working on building my clientele so that I can have my own spot. I didn't like working with other people. Not that it was I had any trouble with it. It's just that I had my own, I have my own idea, my own vision.
So I'm big on mental health, or I say mental health, mental fitness, and all these different things.
Yeah.
So when it comes to being able to be productive throughout the day, or just to keep going, I also feel like having a creative outlet is very important, because I think that everybody's creative in their own right, right?
Like, yeah.
Even if we're talking about cooking, right? You could be very creative in the kitchen and make it look like something art. I didn't see how people take body work. I worked in the industry.
Yeah.
Or, like working out sometimes, you'll see people, even though they're not getting paid for it, when they're in flow, it's they're in sync, bro, and it looks like a performance, right? And it's just something so simple, but that is one of their outlets. So I'm asking, like, how important is it, especially knowing, like, where you have been and, like, coming to this point, right now, how important is it to have a creative outlet?
Well, for me, it's everything, because I am nothing but creative, And some people, they have to find it. Some people don't think that they might have that creative.
No, big facts.
That creative gene. But I feel like it's in everybody. There's something something in everybody that you can really do without no training, training only, helps enhance it if it's already there. Or for people that don't know, then you can learn it. But, like, if you have something in you that you just love to do, and you be like, oh, I can sit here and I can do this all day, whether that's drawing or building a car, watering a plant, making a plant grow.
Man, if you could grow a plant, that's not easy, man.
You can kill it really quick.
Yeah, boy, lay that murder game down. I'm cool on plants.
Yeah.
But yeah, not for sure.
So, but yeah, being creative, man, is just your way of expressing yourself, expressing your love or your passion for whatever it is that you're interested in doing. And you can't let it go. You can't let it go. And most of the time, if you try to let it go, it's going to come back to you anyway.
Big facts.
Like, that happened a lot with music. And I just gave it up. I was like, look, I'm tired. I'm tired of trying to chase this dream. I'm just not going to do it no more.
Yeah.
And then you'll find yourself where somebody's reaching out for you for something, for you to sing at a wedding or something. It could be something as simple as that. And so it's super important that you follow whatever it is that you're interested in. And creativity is in everyone. It might not look like it for everybody, but your own source of creativity. I mean, for instance, fashion. Everybody have their own style. I mean, you start following trends if you want to, but before that, you had your own vision of what you wanted to wear that day when you go to school.
So I feel like let me go back. I 100% agree with that. Everybody is talented. Everybody is creative. Everybody has like a creative nature.
Yeah.
Again, it just doesn't, it may not look the same for other people.
Yeah.
So the second part that you said, which is very important, about trying to, like, I don't want to say bury your passion, but you try to put it to the side. Like, and you try to get, I ain't gonna lie, I want to say get over it. Cause it's, like when you have a passion, loving something creatively is almost like being like in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can try to forget it, but your heart still hurt for it. You know what I mean?
Yes, you're gonna still yearn for it. And it's gonna creep up and grab you.
Yeah, so when we do it, I think it's like, again, going back to, it may not look the same. So, I mess with music too.
Right.
I love music. I'm never gonna stop loving music. I try to put it to the side. I made 100 excuses. I've chased money.
Yeah.
I've done so many different things. I have tried to give it up, but it doesn't leave. So I know for me personally, what I did was I kind of changed it. So I mean, you look at what music is, especially from a lyrical standpoint, it's literally putting words together that rhyme, have a flow, make sense, tell a story, whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. Similar to poetry, similar to a lot of things. And I remember having like a friend tell me when she heard me speak, she was like, it was just like you were just rapping to me, right? And I was like, what? And I can't remember if I was rhyming or not. Like, it was, but we were just we were talking like we talk. So, you know, of course, I'm probably saying some things that kind of flow like that.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I like metaphors.
That's how you talk, though.
Be right.
You just talk intellectual.
So,
yeah.
When we get to this, it's like, even though I may not be doing music as much, I take the podcast. I did this. This is still, again, I'm not chasing it for the profit, though.
Right.
But this is more about passion than anything. So it's like, again, even if you can't get paid off your passion, it doesn't mean you stop it.
No.
Because you're going to try to bury it, and it's not going to go nowhere. You're really going to drive yourself crazy more than anything.
You sure will. I went into depression, y'all, because I felt like everything I wanted to do, I would get like a toe in, but once it got going, it's like, it just stopped. I came to a barrier. So that's kind of how I gave up on the music thing. I was like, man, I'm doing so well, but people not buying my music, but they come to the concert and jam, the performances and jamming. But I just felt like I didn't have the team that I needed or the help that I needed for me to really advance in it, even though I have the raw talent, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I ended up, you know, falling into depression and everything over, you know, me not feeling like I'm not getting anywhere doing my talent, but I love the process of it. I love the process. I love the artistic process of it, man. That's the thing right there. It's about the creativity. Like what you were saying earlier, just going back to that, it's about the creativity.
No, it is. I think, because I'm glad that you said that on your own without me. Because, you know, bro, I've heard it in multiple podcasts. Like, you know, I've been listening to ET and all kind of stuff. So it's not that I've never heard, like, trust the process. But I think until you start, that might sound confusing at first. Can you, like, man, it's like honestly, it sounds like when people talk about practicing for football, like, you want me to practice, bro? I'm not, that's not fun to me. You know what I'm saying? I want to get in the game. I want to put that effort in. But it's like once you really get, I think it has to do with something that you really love, that you understand that statement to a different degree.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, bro, like, even right now, I told you, like, on a business side, believe it or not, like, that's another passion of mine. I actually like business a lot. It took me a while to get around to it, to figuring that out. But even right now, like, taking the little steps, and that's another thing that you may want to touch on. Small wins matter, right? Because you're not going to get this big W at the end of the day. So, like, as I'm going through my process of setting up certain stuff and kind of learning, even, bro, learn about computers again, right? Like,
yeah.
Not knowing that, bro, I thought I'd never need it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to see this and come this far and to be able to take a step back and look and be like, damn, all right, I made it this far, and this is what it looks like. And then, you know, of course, I'm not where I want to be, right? But I'm in motion and start going in that direction. And it's like, bro, if I didn't like the process at all, there'd be no point in me even going any further than where I'm at right now.
Hey, the process, and most time is hard and it's not fun sometimes. It's not fun, like going to school for barbering. Like, I went to school for barbering, but they were teaching me other stuff that I didn't think I was gonna need to know. But as I went through it, I was like, hey, look, I gotta start the process.
Yeah.
That is the main thing, is start the process. Whatever you're interested in, start doing the little things first. Start doing your research, start saving your money, and just going towards starting the process. If you don't start it, you're not gonna ever do it.
No, most definitely. Because I'm not like, you know what? The money thing.
The money is the main problem.
So I feel like, bro, but I feel like it is, because most, I think to me, like, it's, okay, this is all opinionated right now. The reason why money is one of the biggest things is because a lot of people don't really know how to either be resourceful.
Right.
Or when they are resourceful, don't actually know how to put intent behind it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree.
Because it's like, bro, when you go through it, right, like, sometimes I use this as an example. Like, say if a medical bill popped up, we talking about, you got you need a root canal or something like that, bro, yeah. You will find that money. To get that tooth fixed, you will find that money. But if we say, like you say, go to school, let alone, say, take a vacation, something that really may be needed.
Yeah.
Right? We'll find a reason not to be resourceful. And then on the flip side is, like, we get money that's coming in all the time, but don't know how to make it, like...
Don't know how to save.
Don't know how to save or make it work for you.
Most people don't know how to save. They will not save. They will get a paycheck and go and blow all their money. I paid a portion of my tuition for school because I couldn't get full financial aid because they said I made too much money.
Yeah.
So that was $718 a month. I got rent to pay. I got car note. I got insurance, all my bills. I didn't know how I was going to do that. Right. All I know was that I was not going to spend another year working for nobody else. That's all. But and I just prayed, and everything I made, I stopped going out. I stopped buying weed. Mm-hmm. I stopped drinking so much because I really had to save my money and put it towards. I stopped eating out because I like to eat out. Right. I'm a single man, so I would eat out all the time. I had to pay my own, pretty much my own tuition. That was hard as hell. Yeah.
That's like paying child support and some more.
Bruh. For
real. Or a car plan, you could have got something decent.
$718 a month. When she told me that, I was like, I'm not going to be able to go to school. That was my first thought.
Right.
But then I was like, you know what? They're gonna have to, if they gotta pick up my car, whatever it is, they're gonna have to do it because I'm going to school.
Right.
I just could not see myself going another year working for anybody else and doing something that I just really didn't have no interest in.
So, like, one of the things is when you read, you know, spiritual books and stuff like that, especially like on meditation, yeah. I know one of the terms is, because we black, it kind of sounds funny saying this, but they call it monkey mind. But it's that little voice in your head that, like you said, they like to tell you to turn around or that you're not good enough.
Yeah.
I think if you can shed light on like overcoming that, especially because now you're in a different place. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know what I said? Money big.
Yes, I sure can. Man, for me, I feel like I had no choice but to fall into connect with God spiritually. Because I'm telling you, everything that was happening to me, my nieces moved in with me, so I had 2 miles to feed. They had the hurricane, and
right.
Louisiana had tore up their stuff, so they moved here with me. I had a kid. I don't have kids, but I had a kid that I had to learn to be pretty much a father figure to, because right. She doesn't have a male figure in her life, other than her grandfather and her uncle, and me. I mean, she didn't have no father figure. So I had them living with me while I'm going to school, while I'm working from home, and bouncing from job to job. I'm falling into debt.
Right.
And I mean, just overwhelmed. But I was just determined, and I got through a lot of it just spiritually. I was doing a lot of praying, a lot of meditation, which was hard to do in the house with, in a one-bedroom apartment with kids and other people in there, you know? And so, but I would find my spot. Sometime I would go out, drive behind my apartment and sit out at that lake back there and just pray and cry and praise and put music on.
Right.
And then talk to myself and say, hey, look, you can do this. It's gonna be all right. You have to talk, you have to uplift yourself too, because not all the time you're going to have somebody to run to vent or anything. So you have to encourage yourself, you have to motivate yourself and tell yourself, look, it's hard right now, but I can do this and I will do this. Just don't give up. So a lot of it comes from spirituality and, you know, cutting some unhealthy things off for you to focus, like drinking too much or, you know, partying too much, because I used to do that just so I could, you know, mask my pain.
Bro, I'm in so I'm day two technically it's gonna sound so, like, to me it sounds so weak saying this out loud, but vaping, right? So I'm giving up the nicotine again.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, when I tell you, like, the withdrawals of this are trash, fam. You want to talk about giving some things up? Oh my, bro. It's been a roller coaster ride through one day. Like, because yesterday was cool. I didn't have no work.
Right.
So I went through it. Plus, it's the first day. It wasn't that bad. Today, hey, I done felt all kind of motion sickness, all kind of, oh my God. But.
Man, mine was, I developed insomnia. I couldn't sleep unless I smoked weed before I go to bed.
Right.
I could not get to sleep. And my sister is the one that told me, she's like, I told her, I said, I stopped smoking. And I'm like, I just cannot get to sleep. She's like, fool, you're going through withdrawals. Right. You're having withdrawals, because I had smoked regularly for so many years.
Yeah.
My body became dependent on it. Now, I don't see myself as having an addictive personality, but I guess I did.
Man, I do. I think, like, you know, okay, so I'll say this too, and again, I'm not a doctor, not a physiologist.
Yeah.
But that's what it do too. Like, you gotta remember, like, especially if you've been doing something for so long, to habit, is that, of course, you're gonna alter that. Because your body is meant to adapt just like your mind. But I do want to touch on, because I'm big on the spirituality thing, just spirituality too. So yeah. How important is spirituality and having faith to like following your dreams and your vision?
Oh, number one.
Okay.
You can't do it without that. You have to. Now, some people don't believe, and I can't make them, you know, we can't make them believe. But I tell you, you have to have another source of communication. You have to have that spiritual communication.
Because
you have to have a spiritual communication with the Most High so that you can get through the things that we're not strong enough to get through. We can't do it on our own. And having faith in something that you can't see, that's the most difficult thing, because we are visual human beings, we're visual people. You know?
Especially
we're visual beings. And so, I mean, that's number one. You have to try to, I mean, I don't know how to tell people to do it, but you have to believe in something other than just yourself, because we don't have the power to do everything that we want to do. Some things has to come, most things have to come from God. He'll set you up for that, so that you can succeed, but you have to do the rest.
So I definitely believe in like I said, I don't really subscribe to what we'll say quote unquote religion, but you know, very spiritual, and that's the same thing. Is that,
that's why I use that, because I'm not religious.
Yeah, because I mean, like, this, I don't really care about what your faith is, as long as you got the message and as long as you're trying to better yourself and you live by some kind of morals or ethics, right? Like, that's how. But I feel like that's, it's one of those things that if it's missing, you walk with no purpose almost. And,
yeah.
Or no purpose that's grounded in anything of substance. Because, like, again, I don't got it yet, but it would be cool to have $1 million, right? But if that's if that's it, I don't know, fam. That just don't, that to me, but again, this only resonates with me.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have it, so I can't really speak too much on juice. But, you know, like doing the material things, like I've been able to do some of it. You know what I mean? Like I've been able to live a cool life and been invited to some little things throughout my life.
Yeah.
But then when you just start, I think like having this sense of like, spiritualness connects you on a deeper level to almost everything else around you. Like certain things can't be said with words, certain things can't be proved with science.
Nope.
And that's where that sense of having faith or that sense of spiritual awareness comes into play.
Yes, if you at home and you gone through some things and you in a place where nobody can help you, once you start praying, you might not see nothing happen right away. It's going to feel like, okay, I'm praying for nothing. God don't hear my prayers. But he do. But he wants you to be faithful. He wants you to believe that he can make it happen, or that it can happen. And it will happen. I have gotten everything I wanted.
No, big fat.
Everything I wanted. Not when I wanted it, but later. You know, I've gotten everything that I wanted. But it's just me being consistent spiritually and telling God that no matter what, I'm not going to give up on you, and I'm not giving up on myself, because so, I know that I could do this.
that's a conversation within itself, right? Like that timing, because bro, I ain't gonna hold you, right? Like when people think like, man, it ain't coming fast enough, bro. It's coming as fast as it should come.
Yeah.
Because most likely you are not prepared for what's about to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people forget that as you change, as you grow, and as you progress, your problems should progress.
Right.
So you may not be there next, which I'm going to kind of shift into this too, how much, and you can touch either on one of these, because again, I got this four base. So I feel like people should have, be mentally fit, emotionally fit, spiritually fit. Did I say physically?
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, spiritual, emotionally. Damn, bro, it's supposed to be four. I feel like I'm missing one.
Is it mentally?
Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There you go.
Yeah.
So on the emotional side of things, that's funny. This is going to be all in there. On the emotion. So they can finally see what it looked like when I'll be thinking. All right, so on a, because we talked about the spiritual, we talked about the mental. Now, you can either choose to do like the, how important is it to be like physically fit and emotionally fit? It doesn't matter in what order.
Yeah, and physical fitness, people think that it's all about vanity. But physical fitness has helped me with my spiritual and my mental and emotional issues. Because they're there.
Sure.
I've learned over the years as a kid how to mask my issues with a smile and being silly and stuff.
Yep.
But going home by myself for 45 years, well, for 35 years. I was a kid at some point in my life. But to go to being 45 years old and never been married, I don't have any kids.
Bro, I keep forgetting you that. Oh, bro. Yes. Not to say it like that, but because I was like 45. Bro, this whole time I was like, bro, you're not even that age. I was going to say you would until I thought about it. Like, nah, I'm close. Never mind.
Yes, I'm 45 years old. 46 in December.
Good shit.
And, but, you know, to go home by yourself and have to deal with you and your bull crap.
Right.
It's not an easy task. You know, when you're not feeling it and you have to deal with people on a regular basis, like, I can't, like, he's here and I might not feel like being bothered, right?
Right.
I can't treat you crazy. Like, that's my money. That's my job. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not that I feel like that today, because I don't. Yeah. But, like, what if I did? You know what I'm saying? That would be like, you'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with his ass?
Nah, facts.
Yeah, and so, but spirituality is necessary. And then let me tell you another thing. Meditation will help you connect with the higher being. Just turning everything off, closing your eyes, breathing slowly in and out, and just thinking about God or thinking about where you want to be and how can I get there. Just release all the stuff that you're in your mind about the world that you can't control, right? And just focus on me as a person, where I want to be as, you know, as a person. That helps you connect with God, because now you don't have any distractions. Everything's off. You don't have no phone on, your TV not on, your radio not on, nothing. You just laying there or sitting there and just concentrating and talking to God, and you talk to him. I talk to him like I talk to everybody else. I don't do all that church type of praying, because I don't know how to do that. Even though I grew up in church, that's not my way of praying. My way of praying and connecting with God is a regular conversation like we having now.
Yeah, because the prayer, I told you, like, meditate, like to actually meditate. We're talking about doing close eyes. Well, I mean, I pray with my eyes closed.
Breathing.
But the breathing, and then I'm just now learning how to get that, like, what it means to be aware of your thoughts without judging them.
Yeah.
Like to really sit there. But not a prayer be so dope. And I mean, like, there's that euphoric feeling. Like, I do the gratitude prayers over anything. So most of the time when I'm talking, it's more because, like, the visual, I can daydream and be visual. But for some reason, the minute I close my eyes, them thoughts go way far left. So to kind of ground myself, and I'll do the grateful prayers. And it does help somewhat, even on the emotional side, because, like, I bring up the emotional part, because, like you said, even if somebody don't want to be here, sometimes we let that distract us from our vision, from our purpose, from our goals. And in the moment, it's hard to see. Because, you know, like, the emotions of blind anything, to be honest with you, it's such a strong feeling that it clouds the mind. It clouds, and on a physical level, you'll prepare for it before even you realize what you're doing. So I know, like, that's something that I've been working on, because I got that attitude bad where, you know, one, I'm stubborn. I listen to stuff, but I'm stubborn, and then
I can be too.
Once my attitude is in play, like, I still help you and still have attitude, though. That's the weird thing about it.
Yeah.
Because I want to get the goal done. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, if we getting something done, you don't got to talk to me, though. You
know? Yeah. But. Just shut up and do your job. Do what you came here to do.
I remember telling them, like, look, if y'all want to be teams, I'm here for it. Like, I'm down for the team environment.
Yeah.
But y'all not showing me that. So, like, if y'all not going to be a team, shut up and let me work. Like, let's just get this over with. You know, like, y'all want to be
sure.
You want to be liked. I'm just trying to get done, man. Like, trying to make life easy, bro.
Shoot. So, I feel you on that.
So I know on the emotional side, I bring that up just to be like, because I know also, too, when we think about emotions, like, we'll say that fear is one. And that's also why I brought up the monkey mind earlier, too, or, like, just having those doubts. Because now I can tell you, bro, like, I don't know what your tactic is of getting around it, but I know for me, I kind of actually like it now because it allows me to let me know that I feel. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because similar to you, I do like to use jokes as a form of, I say jokes is my offense and my defense. To be real, like, yeah. I can honestly, like, when I talk to women, I sit there and make a joke, and that's how I get comfortable.
Uh-huh.
But you know, that's also how they get comfortable around me.
Right.
But then if we're talking about something that's touchy, I ain't gonna lie, it's in my nature to make something funny about it.
Right.
And I know now, like, just feeling how my body feels, that's part of the reason why. Is to kind of ease, it makes it easier for me versus just wanting to be funny in the situation.
Right.
Because it's not necessarily lighting up the mood, it's a lighting up me personally, like, so I could prepare for it, but at the same time, I ain't gonna lie, sometimes that's not the best thing.
No, it's not. And, you know, I go through therapy, you know, because, you know, just childhood traumas, you know, you think, and I learned at an early age to be like, whatever, it's gonna be fine.
Right.
Well, you know, later it's not gonna be fine. It's gonna come, you're gonna have to face it at some point, whatever is bothering you. So I've had to address things that I used to mask, you know?
Yeah.
In order for me to heal from my traumas. And, you know, it's necessary. But do I still do that? Do I still fall into where I'll joke and stuff? And I do that a lot, like when something's becoming like conflict.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I don't like arguing and fighting or anything like that. So I'll joke or just laugh or even just walk off, you know, and leave it behind me. But, you know, sometimes you have to, depending on the situation, you do have to address it.
Nah, man. So, you know, like, cause now I think about, I'm like, damn, what with it? Cause when you said conflict, I'm like, oh, bro, I'm being there. But sometimes not really. It depends. And then, I kid you not, I'm so used to making jokes that, like, you know how you said, like, sometimes I'm not even aware that I'm doing. I am aware, but I'm not. Because I'm thinking of the joke. Don't get me wrong. Like,
right.
The joke is getting plotted.
Right.
But I'm not thinking about making a joke, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just natural, like, because even in funerals and stuff like that, you know, it's usually a sad time. Bro, I be dying. Because I just get the notice and dump stuff.
So you know, I just buried my best friend last month.
Yes, sir.
And if that, even like, even though I was so distraught, there was so much funny shit that happened at that funeral of a friend. Whenever we left, we didn't laugh about so many things. And like, I was cracking jokes in church and stuff too, like at the funeral. But it was really to kind of mask my feelings. Right. But a lot of stuff was so funny. And so it helps you kind of, you know, not, you don't have to deal with the emotion that's at hand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all think, because fortunately, like, we got to talk about that before, and I was telling you about the death thing. Like, look, I feel like that's how it's supposed to be. Honestly, if you remember, and this go for you, because he know me. If you ever hear that I die, and you get to pop up, because I'm getting cremated for more than one reason, and I ain't trying to be no zombie, and but then I just want to be spread out, you know what I'm saying, across the globe. But it's like, if you knew me, and again, you know me for conversation like this. This is really like,
yeah.
So the people know this is really how I talk. Like, this isn't for a podcast. Like, we're doing a podcast, but this is really how I talk. So it's like, and it, man, bro, we better turn up, have fun. Like I said,
that's what I said.
If you know what I mean, like have a drink. Like I told, I swear to bro, this is on. I told my mom, I was like, look, because it didn't make me laugh. I think even in this, you know, spirit realm, whatever afterlife it looking like, I was like, look, just make him, let me have a dress shirt, maybe a nice vest, but put me in a basketball shorts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, business, that's you. That's you.
Business casual, fam. Yeah. Nah, I'm playing, but you know, like. It's because that should make me laugh. Like, this ain't tripping, bro. But it's one of those things where I know.
Do you believe? Go ahead. No, finish first.
Oh, if it's what I'm thinking about, because we can end that. Like, you talking about like afterlife or reincarnation or something?
Do you believe that when we die, we can, like, watch over people and laugh? And I feel like you can. I feel like once my spirit leaves my body, like, that's still my personality. And so, like, I would be laughing, or, like, okay, for instance, when my friend passed, I knew there's this girl that sang at his funeral, well, who's really one of his cousins, and he hated the way she sang. And so, she was singing, and it sounded horrible. And so, I'm just saying it's true. And I hope they don't see this, but they do it well. But it sounds absolutely horrible. So the whole time that she was doing that, I just kept elbowing my sister, and I'm like, listen to it, because I kept thinking, like, I know he talking shit.
Yeah,
I know he's saying, why y'all hired this bitch to sing at my motherfucking feet? Why did y'all choose her? Because he hated the way she sung, and everybody was egging her on and stuff. So I just think that, like, I was like in my mind, like, I bet he cussing her ass out of his mouth because that was his personality, you know what I'm saying?
So I know, like, I feel like this, right? I actually was thinking about reincarnation the other day, and I was like, it would make sense on this level, right?
Yeah.
So hear me out. That if energy doesn't die and it's only just transformed, like it doesn't die and it's not created, it just transforms for the most part, mm-hmm. or something to that nature. So that means technically when you would go, you would be something. Now, what that something is, we think that we may come back as a roach. Not necessarily.
I hope not.
Or birds, whatever, you know. Like, something that, but I think, like, for that to be true, like, I think that is true to its nature. Now, what it looks like, I can't tell you. Yeah. And do I think that your spirit, yeah, man, you got to be around some way, some. And it's, I think, like, when you leave, like, when we leave impressions on, like, we leave impressions on people all the time.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So, like, in essence, how can you not say that that person's not really still alive in some way, say fashion or form? Because there's somehow, some way, like, that I may influence you to, like, be something away with. It may be the way you think. It may be like how you said. You knew that that's not what he wanted. And you knew what he would say.
Yeah.
So, to say, those are his thoughts coming out your mouth. You get what I'm saying? Like,
right.
So, he's there. And, of course, he's laughing because you laughing, but he's not laughing in the same way. He probably like, that ain't funny. And you like, yes, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, he laughed because he's funny because he was a fool. And he would say stuff like that. And we would laugh. That was my best friend forever, you know?
Yeah.
And so we grew up together since we were about 13 years old. And so, yeah, he would have been laughing and cussing her out. Up there probably. Like this. He'd been cussing everybody else out. But, hiring her, even me, probably like, why you let them do that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't like the way she sounds. I can just hear him saying it, you know.
No, man, that's crazy. I'm surprised they did that too. I mean,
they didn't know, you know, but
oh, they didn't know she was gonna sing. Oh, they didn't know he didn't. Oh,
they didn't know he didn't like her voice. But we knew, so when we found out, we was trying to. Well, you know, I'm not immediate family, so anything I said would not have been, listened to. So I didn't say anything, but his cousin, his first cousin, who was also a friend of ours, we all kind of hung out together. She was like, guess who they got to say? And she was like, just telling us all the stuff. And I was like, you're right. That's so. She's like, he going to be mad. I was like, well, he can't be mad because he did. But when I thought about it, well, maybe he can. Because it's just a spirit. Our bodies is just a shell.
Right.
Our spirits last forever.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, there's something that just crossed my mind.
Now, but I definitely think, like, we should Cause I, yeah, that's, I ain't gonna touch on that subject too much, but yeah, we leave it there.
Yes, sir.
We gonna have that off the record.
Right.
That's a conversation I gotta come back to. But I think you guys said something too before we wrap this one up, which was, you said being physically fit is important, right, to the everything?
Yes, because it helps you. It helps with a lot of medical, physical, well, a lot of mental, health, emotional. It really helps with that.
Yeah.
Like working out is just not for, it's not just for physical appearance.
Right.
It's just not. And I think most people think, because people tell me that, oh, you done got in that gym, you thank you, all that. I'm like, what?
Right, because you in the gym too, like, and you really are. Man, look, and this is really for the young ones and the ones who don't know. Hey, tell the truth. Now, you're probably going to say, in the gym, do muscle get you really hoes like that?
Not in the gym.
Or just, okay.
Like outside the gym, probably. I mean, because there's a lot of people in there with bodies, you know what I'm saying?
Well, because also you said probably outside. Because I always tell people, I'd be like as a dude, like, the gym and muscles, they get you bros and not hoes. Because yeah. It's usually guys that come up and start talking.
Yeah, and you'd be like, what the fuck he doing?
Right. So,
I'm not saying. That's why you jocking me.
I'm not saying that it doesn't help, right?
Right.
But it's not what people think it is. And I like something that you touched on. So I'm big on, you know, like now people be like, oh, you go to the gym and you fight your demons, you do all this kind of stuff. And I get it, but I also say like it doesn't really solve answers. Like you could come up with solutions, but you still gotta put that action in. Yep. Like it's really on what you do and what you do once you leave there.
It really is. Are you gonna go eat a whole pile of gumbo?
Which will throw you back off mentally and everything.
Don't eat any gumbo. Gumbo is good, but that's a very unhealthy. This is not healthy.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's like not healthy. You gonna eat a whole mashed potatoes and ice cream and cookies. You won't be working out for nothing.
Or the alcohol, working back.
Oh, yeah, guilty.
You know
myself, yeah. And you, when you're not seeing your results, that's why. Because you done went back and you went work out, but you're going back and doing the same thing that you were doing before.
No, because you know, like I said, bro, I'm big on all. To me, that's
bring you back.
Yeah, like I kind of live like life based off of that four: emotional fitness, mental fitness, spiritual fitness, and physical fitness.
Yeah,
you know, like because everything, and it's really like a evolving thing. I think spiritual to me is the most hard. Again, spiritual being the most hard, but it's not the easy obtainable. Like,
yeah,
but it's once you get there, you reach a certain kind of level. But you know, like I'm big, like mental fitness and physical fitness are probably the main things I focus on throughout most of my life in general.
Yeah.
And then now, like I said, the spiritual was the last few weeks. With, damn, it's probably been some time. You know, time flies. So I don't even want to put no time frame on that. But now it's the emotional side, like especially being older.
Yeah, it is. As we get older, we become, your emotions are going to change. And then you have a kid.
Yeah.
As like, what you a 30 what?
34.
34, okay. Once you start getting into them 40s and 50s, everything starts, you become just more emotionally in tune with everything. It's so crazy. Because even my mother, for example, my mom was not a soft person, but she is now. I mean, she's in her 60s, but now she's just like, she'll cry. My mom was not that type of woman.
Yeah.
She was that woman that she was just a hard woman. She was tough. And so, but now she wants to see us and she'll cry. And I'd be like, so we're unfamiliar with that emotion when it comes. We're like, Mom, why are you crying? Like, what's going on? But as you get older, you know, your emotions start to get, if you were a mean person, you might become nice. If you are, you might become more mean, you know? It could be there too. But it changes, you know? But yeah, I'm telling you, that physical health, fitness does help with a lot of other stuff than just
almost
beauty.
Yeah, because that part, like once you get to a certain, I think it's about maturing.
It's
about maturing. But like once you get to a certain level of maturity in the gym, you could see it.
Yeah.
And again, like, you know, it's one of like, Bro, honestly, that's if you want to say going to church, bro, I'd be feeling like that sometimes. Like once you get into the flow of things, mm-hmm. it'd be just as therapeutic as church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the conversation that we have, because most people think, I think from the outside looking in, if you were to talk to somebody from the gym, you like people think I'm a gym rat, and I'd be like, nah. Because I don't really eat, sleep, or think the gym, not even mm-hmm. when I'm in there. You know, we talk literally like this in the gym.
Yep, for about 30 minutes.
So. No, I think, like, the physical part is so big, and I think, you know, like, because this is, like, man-to-man talking right now, so, like, with the emotion side, with the emotional side, of course, having a daughter is going to change, but even if I would have had a son, and it's just because of, like, there's certain things that I wasn't prepared for.
Right.
And when we were talking earlier, remember, I was like, you could get put in a situation but not be ready for it.
Yep.
A lot of decisions that I, or a lot of opportunities that may have went in the wrong direction, or not for me in that moment, were based off of something I probably did emotionally. Kind of got a short temper. Mm. So, like, if I get mad, you know, it's, I got one of those, I don't care, like, fuck it, attitudes. And once I say that, it's over. Because I'm going to show you why I don't care, too, and how much I don't care. And you know that's not always the best thing. So that's why I said
it's not the best thing.
You know, that's why I said, like, this year's about, like, emotional maturity and just kind of understanding and awareness.
Yeah.
But, yeah, nah.
But, yeah, man.
All right.
We got to be good to ourselves.
So that we can wrap this one up, man. Again.
We can wrap this up.
Let them know who you are and where you at.
All right. Once again, y'all, my name is McKelly Thomas. Everybody know me as Kelly, the Creole Prince, the Barber. I own a shop. It's called the Barber Shop. It's called the Barber Artist Studio, where we do haircuts, braids, fades, dreads. Color.
Oh, you still doing color?
You name it, I do everything. So if you want to find me, I am on Booksy at The Barber Artist. Well, The Barber Artist, I'm on Booksy. And so you can find me there, and I'm located in Round Rock, right off of Lewis Hanna and 35, in the same shopping center as Target. So come get fresh and come get blessed.
You still do, you on social media too or no?
Oh, I'm social media, Instagram, The Barber Artist. That's where I'm on. I'm, Facebook, I'm just McKelly Thomas on Facebook.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I am getting back into music, so I will have some new R&B music coming out soon. We got D, he gonna be on some of the tracks, so, I mean, we about to do this.
Oh, no, we gonna do that. So now we gonna leave it rolling because you still in a break. But, nah, bro, that's dope.
All right.
That's dope.
Let's go.
What else
we talking about?
Oh, no, we going to end this one. Well, it's about to be off the record. That's why I said once you get done with this, it's off the record.
Off the record, off the record.
Yeah, but, yo, man, we
you
still...
You
want to
stop it?
Yeah, so, again, thank y'all for listening to OTR Off the Rip. But, yeah, you can stop it now.
All right, let's just do some.
Hit the...